Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So many messages coming in on that last conversation with Owen McGee about adult children paying rent. This one, I think parents should not make a profit from charging their adult children rent. I do think it's okay for children to contribute a small amount towards the running costs of the home if they can afford it. And another one, I think if they're buying a house, no, a rent shouldn't be paid or needs not to be paid. My mother did what your guest said about the money paid to her. My daughter buys her own food. She doesn't pay rent, but she does her clothes, washing. And I agree about the dishes bit too. That's expected. Not just children too. Every adult should contribute towards living costs if they're living at home, food, utilities, etc. They're still saving by not paying rent. Also, it avoids rows if they're supposed to be saving, but you can see them spending whilst you budget. Our WhatsApp number is 0870 32 32 32. Now, the first of many CAO deadlines is fast approaching. Students are being asked to apply by the start of February, so it's coming up very soon. And many schools are beginning exam preparations now. The mocks and the oral exam are taking place over the next few weeks and months. So I'm joined now by Donica O'Mahony, career guidance teacher at Loretto St. Stephen's Green, who runs the Leaving Cert Guidance Instagram page. And here in studio is Dan Sheedy, who's former history and geography teacher and principal of the Tuition Centre. And you're both very welcome. Donica, I'll come to you first because I want to talk through the deadlines so we know where we are on the timeline here, because they're coming up quicker than people might think.
Yeah, well, actually, the first deadline is Monday at 5 p.m. So that's what they call the early bird deadline. So if you open up your account by Monday at 5 p.m, it's going to cost you €30. You don't have to do anything else, only open up your CAO account. Now, after 5 p.m. on Monday, it's going to cost you €45. So it'll be a 50% increase right up until the 1st of February. And that's when you have to have your CAO account open by. Another little deadline is if you're applying for restricted courses, it has to be on your CAO list by the 1st of February. So restricted courses are anything that has an additional entry requirement. Mm-hmm. So medicine would have HPAD as an entry requirement. Music and drama would have an audition. Art would have a portfolio. They all have to be on your CAO list by the 1st of February. If you're not applying for a restricted course, don't worry too much about it. Just open up your account.
Right. And then keep an eye on the emails that are coming in from the CAO and don't ignore them.
That's a big one. So any correspondence from the CAO, email, text, you actually have a correspondence section on your CAO account. They're asking you to do something. It's not junk or spam. They want you to act on the account for some reason. Now, if you don't do that and you ignore it, as hundreds of students do every year, when it comes to CAO first round, even though you have the points, even though you might have the entry criteria, if there's something wrong with your account, you won't get an offer in the first round.
Right. OK, so now is the time to make sure that all of that stuff is done properly. So, Dan, I was saying there now that we're heading in very soon, aren't we, into the mocks and people getting ready for the oral exams. It's just it's really intense, and stress really for both the parents and students is the thing now.
It is, yeah. It's that time of the year now. Things are getting stressful. I suppose the mock exams, the first thing we should say is for people in Limerick and Cork, the prees. About 20% of the country call them prees and about 80% call them mocks.
Okay, is that right?
Yeah, just so everyone knows what we're talking about. And they vary for schools. Some schools will have them actually next week in my area. Some schools the first week in February. Some schools then the last 2 weeks leading into the midterms. Mm-hmm. So it is spread, which spreads the stress for many people.
Yeah.
I suppose what's interesting about the mocks is the stress they create among students. I mean, I taught for 23 years and I used to say to students, you know, they're the mocks, you know, they're not the Leaving Cert, they're the Leaving Cert without the consequences.
Yeah, everybody says that, but it does feel like we're at the raw end of this now. And I remember doing it myself. You just, it brings it home that this is the big year.
It is. I think there's two reasons students get very, very anxious about the mocks. And I've a bit of lived experience here. I'm in the unenviable position of my daughter's in Leaving Cert and my son is in junior cycle this year.
Both in the same
so
year.
I'm going right through it. And you know, number one, there is the academic issue. I mean, students are smart. They know by January they don't have the course done. You know they haven't revision done. Most of them took a well-earned break over Christmas. Mm-hmm. They come back into January and they're faced straight in away with these exams. You know, and they haven't had a chance to revise. Courses are finished and they're actually going to be doing new work for the 2 weeks right up to the breeze.
Right.
So that's the academic stress that creates, particularly among students who want to do well. Mm-hmm. There's a different element that I only figured out, you know, in the last few years myself, which would be, I would imagine, interest to parents is, you know, I was asking students, why are you getting so stressed about the mocks? And I was giving the narrative, which is true. You know, it is just for practice. It allows you to make the mistakes. But I still was trying to put my finger on. I was looking at my daughter a few years ago and she was doing the junior cycle and she was getting so stressed, you know. And so eventually I got a, you know, that rare thing, an honest answer from a teenager. And a student came up to me after class when I'd asked it and they said, well, do you know what we were asking about that, Dan? I said, yeah. And they said, well, when you get the results of your mocks or pre's, you're in school surrounded by your friends. When you get the results of your leaving cert,
you're gone.
You're gone. And that, you know, very interesting. I felt that. So from that point on, I've put as much effort into preparing them almost emotionally for their mocks and pre's as the leaving cert, because it means something to them.
Listen, I want to just talk about this for a minute from a parent's point of view, because it's one thing to deal with a child who's really stressed, and then you have another problem at the other end of the scale. You have a child who doesn't give a toss about it, and that can, you know, that can cause problems too. You know, parents are why aren't you a little bit more worried about this?
Well, there's actually, I think there's probably two ways to deal with the two separate students. If you take the first student, the student who really wants to do well, gets very almost emotional about their grades. So if they're facing into their mocks, the best thing to say to them is, look, and we'll talk in percentages, because in my age it was A1s and A2s, mm-hmm. and now it's H1. So we'll speak the universal language of percentages, which is if a student gets 65% in their mocks, they're going to get 80% plus in their leaving cert. And I would communicate that to students. I mean, it's hard to believe this, but from fifth year, those students are calculating their points from their fifth year midterm exams.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and it's not really realistic, but they do it, so you have to be aware of it. So why are they going to get 25% more? Well, number one, the flip side of that coin we were just talking about, they're going to have loads of time to revise, 5 weeks of revision. Right? Number two, they're going to have the course finished. And number three, and I would probably say most importantly, they'll have all the mistakes made in the mocks that they're going to make in the leaving cert. You know, so they will be ready. And there's a fourth element, actually, project work. I mean, geography, history, art, music, the orals, 40% in Irish, 20% of the other subjects, construction, engineering. They all have projects worth 20% and they're not factored into the mocks.
Right. So you shouldn't worry if your child isn't stressed about it.
My advice to parents, first of all, would be back off. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids know they haven't everything done by the mocks. 50% in the mocks will translate into 80% in the leaving cert.
Yeah.
Now, the second group, so the kid who maybe needs to get off the Barker lounger a little bit, well, they know that too, you know. And I would be very wary always of, oh, that child doesn't care. You know, sometimes kids won't make an effort because they're worried if they do, they mightn't succeed. So they're very aware. So I would say to parents, don't get at that kid who doesn't seem to be working very hard. You know, they know that themselves. They're probably a little bit worried. Every child wants to do well.
You shouldn't be chasing them around the house with a sweeping brush trying to get them into study.
Well. Exactly. And like, there's advice for them too. So, you know, I suppose at the top end of the scale, you have to convince them, don't worry about the mocks. You get that 20-30% extra. So at the middle to lower end of the scale, then in terms of effort or perceived effort, what those kids have to do is they got to cut down what they're going to learn for the mocks. And this isn't difficult. You know, teachers will help. I suppose the narrative always secondary school is, oh, the teachers know what's coming up in the leaving cert and there's a big bold examiner and there's a big bold corrector. There isn't. Like, I've created mock papers myself for 15 years. Everybody wants you to do well. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants the child to do well and your teacher wants you to do well. So if a child is kind of, you know, if I was a parent and I am and I have a child in junior cycle, what I would say is go to your teacher and let's pick a subject at random, let's say maths, and there are, let's say, 16 topics in maths. The maths teachers around the country now might be giving out to me, but let's say hypothetically there's 16 topics in maths. There's about 7 that everyone knows are the top topics and they're patterned to come up.
So get some advice on that from your teacher.
Get some advice.
Dan, I'm going to have to leave it there, but we'll talk to you again because there's going to be so many moments over the next couple of months that we need this type of advice. So thank you so much.
I'll give you one last piece of advice if you want for every student in the country. We have a maths teacher called Owen O'Leary. He's fabulous. And his advice is when you're sitting in an exam and you're getting a bit panicky, if you don't know what to do, do what you know.
Right. Good advice, Dan. Thank you so much for being with us. That's Dan Sheehy there, who is from the Tuition Centre.